A rhetoric teacher I greatly admire, published an interesting article in The Guardian a fortnight ago. Quote, at its heart, speech writing is conversation, elevated to an oratorical art, and like the best conversation, it encompasses every style and genre of expression. From storytelling to forensic argument, from poetry to humor, from exhortation to reflection. To be effective, a speechwriter has to absorb, master, and delight in all forms of language, end of quote. Well, we, the speechwriters, the people behind the scenes, love the toolbox of this conversation, don't we? We are fascinated by language, by the power of words. We love rhetorical figures, alliterations, metaphors, or mitotes. We speechwriters often have to pull ourselves together not to use too much of these candies and sweets. But how do we actually deal with all the tools when we work for someone whose rhetorical talent may not be at the top of the game? That sounds more like everyday life. Our clients are usually normal people, which is why we envy colleagues who have written for the Barack Obamas, the Tony Blairs, or yes, the Maggie Thatchers of this world. For nowadays, are allowed to write for inspiring or at least outspoken politicians like Kaja Kallas, Prime Minister of Estonia, or Bente Frederiksen, head of the Danish government, or Giorgia Meloni, Prime Minister of Italy. But it gets really difficult when you are expected to write speeches for someone who is not only a rather poor speaker, but who actually doesn't want to speak at all. Which brings us to Angela Merkel. Yeah, you're laughing. I don't want to say anything about Merkel's politics. The process of coming to terms with her 16 years in government has just begun. Besides, it wouldn't be proper. After all, I was one of her main speechwriters for years. But from a rhetorical point of view, as a speechwriter, as a craftsman, among craftsmen, I would like to address three topics and venture three theses. First, we too often focus on the glamorous aspects of our business. Understandably so, but before we start working and open our toolboxes, we should look carefully. It's not just about whether our client, the talking heads of the organizations we work for, mumble or emphasize badly, like me, or are playing technocrats. It's about the concrete approach. How do we write in such a way that our client feels comfortable speaking? How do we manage to assess our client correctly? To recognize her or his personality, which will show itself when speaking one way or the other. We have to be psychologically trained counselors or at least analysts of some sort. I have the experience myself of having written a really good speech I was very proud of. It turned into a pretty bad speech the moment it was delivered. Why? I made a mistake. It was the wrong speech for that person. I had the misfortune not to have spoken to and met the speaker in person beforehand. I did not know that he was a typical technician, an engineer, someone who was not particularly comfortable speaking in front of an audience, like me. I did what we usually do. I had completely immersed myself into the subject and in the process chosen the wrong rhetorical figures, the wrong metaphors, the wrong punchlines. It was very unpleasant to witness this person stumbling through a manuscript that was recognizably not his and with which he was not comfortable. Secondly, do we think enough about what our clients actually want to achieve. They forgot to talk, they want to achieve something with a speech. Maybe she or he doesn't want to shine. Think about it. Maybe someone else, something else is going on. So the question is, what is on the speaker's mind preparing a speech? What motive, drive, or problem does the client have? What kind of setting will the speech be held? Is the speech appointment a welcome distraction, or is the speaker entering the lines then? Does the speaker want to shake things up, or appear harmless and unthreatening, and maybe a little bit boring? Thirdly, how does Angela Merkel fit into the picture here? She followed it off as someone who, as an experienced lawyer, was used to making tough, loud pleas, often a little aggressive, sometimes mocking, but always with quite a lot of testosterone in his appearance. Angela Merkel instinctively understood how to make a brand out of her deficits, to be more normal than the most normal German. Awkward, untrained, someone for whom public speaking is exhausting. This made instinctive sense to many. Most people have a shyness about having to stand up and speak in front of many people, for example, at a school or company meeting. The message of her delivering bad speeches was, I'm one of you. But in the process, well, I'm a serious guy. In the process, two things happen that are very negative. And Germany is now suffering from them. Firstly, Germany forgot at some point that it is simply unacceptable that the person who heads the government does not explain herself. Even the journalists who idolized her for several reasons, they have forgotten that the Prime Minister has a duty to explain what she's doing and what she intends to do, what her plans are, what her vision for her country is. Sadly enough, her successor, Olaf Scholz, is to... Yeah. He's trying to continue doing just that, even harder than her. Keep silent, he grins, deliberately does not answer questions, and speak in painful generalities when he finally does speak. Secondly, and this is really interesting and completely beyond the scope of my little intervention, the culture of argument itself, of political dispute, has been damaged in the last years. I miss the inspiring character of public speaking, of opening everybody's mind, the clash of different arguments. Remember my opening quote from Martin Schobel's article? Public speaking is, in the best sense, a kind of conversation. A conversation people share, in which they listen to each other and respond to what has been said. Well, Merkel helped some great speeches, no doubt about that. But all in all, she denied Germans for 16 years the kind of conversation Martin has written about. In 2017, the then opposition politician and now finance minister said the beautiful sentence, quote, you can also under-challenge a country with a lack of ambition. A wise observation. When lack of ambition is compounded by a refusal to communicate, things get bleak. And in my opinion, at the very end, it is not successful either. Angela Merkel is celebrated as a political leader, as a role model, especially abroad in the US, in Asia, but that's not what she was. I'm afraid that her place in history, for me, will not be as rosy as some still believe today. That I confess as a speechwriter, I'm very happy to have worked for a younger politician who wanted to communicate and who wanted public conversation. And that saved me from melancholy and you. you and our conferences. And on rare occasions, these conferences are even held at the very best university of the UK.